The title of this message is Resurrection, Our Eternal Hope. Let's take your swords out. Romans 6. Father, I have your word and I believe it's true. I am what it says I am. I have everything it says I have. And I can do everything it says I can do. In Jesus' name. That is the key. We can do nothing in and of ourselves. But in Jesus' name, we can. It's just a matter of us putting our faith forward and allowing God to take over. Amen? Romans 6, verses 4 and 5, and then put your finger in that. We'll go to 1 Peter 1, 3. One tree. This many. I can't grab my finger. I don't know why. There we go. It's old hands, you know. All right, let's start in Romans. We were therefore buried with him through baptism into death in order that, just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life. If we have been united with him like this in his death, we will certainly also be united with him in his resurrection. And Peter says, praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Today is the most joyous day for us as believers. It's not Christmas. Although, we do celebrate Christmas, and I have reservations because I don't get a lot of presents at Christmas. But I do get licorice jelly beans today. And I am allowed 3 according to the serving size. So it's going to last me a long time. But Holly comes over and we share, so that's okay. Thank you. This day is so joyous to us that it doesn't matter where you are in your walk, the fact remains that he's no longer on that cross. The fact remains that he's no longer in the tomb. The fact remains he is alive forevermore. And because of that, that is our eternal hope. We have to understand that when we proclaim Jesus Christ, there is an example that we must set forth in our own personal lives. And that example is living this thing by faith. We can't do it. We're not human doings. We are human beings. And the first thing we need to learn is how to be. A lot of times what we do is we try to do things before we become that which what God calls us. And we're on this process to walk through this life in becoming that which Jesus Christ has apprehended us for. And if we know what he has apprehended us for, it becomes a lot easier because then we're not focused on a whole bunch of other things. We're just focused on what he says. And this fact alone, that Jesus has risen from the grave, is our eternal hope. Hope is what? Pertains to future, right? Faith is what? Now, today. Hebrews 11:1 says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. And so if we're able to see that where we are today and where we're going to be tomorrow, hope takes us there through faith in Jesus Christ. One of the basic things is in Hebrews 6, 1 through 2, it clearly states that the resurrection of the dead is one of the foundational basic doctrines of the church. Are you aware of that? It is. Repentance, faith to God, baptisms, laying on of hands, Resurrection of the dead, eternal judgment. And when we understand that when He rose from the grave, our judgment is not going to be a bad judgment. Because Jesus paid for the crimes of our sins yesterday, today, and forevermore. He paid for it. And what God wants us to understand is the hope is that as He rose from the dead, so shall we. And we can experience this resurrection life, not in a great future, but today, every day in our lives. The heathen, or the world, those who are far away from God.
There you go.
See, I'm changing. Their mindset is such that they teach through a mythological reference to the resurrection. And in every religion, they talk about a death and a new birth. They do. If you look at the religions of the world, they do. Some talk about it in metaphorical terms of how the sun rises during the day, at night it goes down, and in the morning it rises again. All symbolic of a resurrection. Of course, we find out that actually the earth sets and rises. That's the truth. Okay, so the world has it a little bit backwards. We've also heard from other Christians that talk about the changing of the seasons, especially this past winter where it was so cold and so much snow, and my back got worn out from so much shoveling. My wish list is a snowblower. We probably won't have snow like that.
When you buy it, we'll have 80-degree winters.
All right. I like that. Prophesy that. I'm down with it. As Pastor Joe says, you know, we don't have none of that stuff down here. We don't know what 40-degree weather is. Pastor Joe is the one from Florida. And so what we have to understand that today, eternal life isn't taking a long winter's nap, that flowers come back and trees begin to bloom. Resurrection has to do with something even more profound. And that is having life forever. In the ancient days, the Greeks thought that life was done away with once the body died. You see, the Greeks didn't think the body was of importance. They figured that once the soul was released from the body, that they could go on forever and ever in their soul nature to explore the vastness of the universe and see the glorious wonders that are contained in that. The Jews, at least they're getting it partially right. They understand that the triunity of man, and the triunity of man is what? He has a body. He has a soul, and he has a spirit, just like God. We're created in his image. They believed that once the body died, they would go to paradise. Their spirit and soul would go to paradise. Some would go to paradise, and it'd be great. It's called Abraham's bosom, where they were kept waiting for Messiah to come. And when he comes, everything would be good. And some of those would go to hell or Gehenna, which is another part of paradise, to wait for the eternal judgment because they did evil while they were in the body. We know that that's not true. They know that facing God is eternal judgment, and it wasn't something that we should take lightly in our walk with Jesus Christ. We as Christians should believe in the resurrection. And believe me, I've been in camps where they don't believe that. Christians who do not believe in a resurrection. They've taken some of the thinking that the Jews had, and the Jews believed that once judgment day came, God was going to put together their bodies, their soul, and their spirit, and they would be exactly replicated as what they were in life, now to stand before the king and be judged. Does anybody know the difference between Judaism and Christianity? You're still waiting for Messiah. They didn't believe that Jesus was the one. And that's true, Miss Holly. But the one thing that is different, that makes us different from the world's religions, that makes us different from Judaism, which is very, very close, is we do not believe in a replication, an exact replication. We believe in a total transformation. Body, soul, and spirit. The Bible says to us, 1 John 3:2 says, "Dear friends, now we are children of God, and we will be not as yet has seen or known, but we will know when he appears. We shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is." We don't know what a glorious body is going to look like. But we know that this glorious body is never going to have corruption in it. It's never going to have death in it. And I'm going to have long hair. Long, beautiful, blonde hair like I had when I was young. And I was dumb. But yes. We don't know what we're going to be like, but when we see him, we're going to be just like him. We know that the examples through the scriptures, the Old Testament scriptures, speak about resurrection, speaks about Christ fulfilling his job, talking about everything that Messiah would do. But Psalm 16:10 says, "Because you will not abandon me to the grave, nor will you let your Holy One see decay." If God wasn't going to let Jesus stay in the grave and not decay, do you understand that after 3 days, the body begins to decomposition, the process of decomposition? So it was imperative that God would raise Jesus Christ up within those 3 days to fulfill the scripture was one, but also there's a physical law of decomposition that God had to arrest to get Jesus up. The Bible says to be absent in the body is to be present where? Before the Lord. We all may taste death, but we will not be put in a grave. Our body will be in a grave, but we will be with God. Soul and spirit. Until judgment day. Isaiah 26:19 says, "But your dead will live. Their bodies will rise. You will dwell in the dust. You who dwell in the dust will wake up and shout for joy. Your dew is like the dew of the morning. The earth will give birth to her dead." Reference to resurrection. We have to understand that this is the last thing that's got to get fulfilled for us. When Jesus comes back, we're going to be like him. Whether we see him split the eastern sky and are still alive here, or whether we die, we're going to see him. And the world doesn't want to see him. The world hates him. And so we must get it into our gray matter. They hate us too. Why? Because we're his disciples. And he's risen. And our hope is to follow the pattern of Jesus Christ. Everything that Jesus did was to fulfill the pattern of the Father, fulfill the will of God. And he hasn't forgotten you, and he hasn't forgotten me, Because what He has started in you, He will complete it. You can fuss and fight and do whatever you want, but the Word of God is for sure. He's going to do it. Just like He has already done it. Daniel 12:2 says, the multitudes who sleep in the dust of the earth will awaken. Some to everlasting life, others to shame and everlasting contempt. Speaks about this judgment. For those who are outside of Jesus Christ, they have no hope. For us, He is our hope. He isn't our hope sometime in the future. He is our hope each and every day. Each and every moment that we take a breath. Each and every moment that we do things. But here's something that a lot of scholars misinterpret. Turn to Ezekiel 37. And we know this scripture. Ezekiel 37:1-14. It says, the hand of the Lord was upon me, and He brought me out by the Spirit of the Lord, and set me in the middle of a valley. It was full of bones. He led me back and forth among them, and I saw a great many bones on the floor of the valley, bones that were very, very dry. He asked me, son of man, can these bones live? And I said, O sovereign Lord, you alone know. Then He said to me, prophesy to these bones and say to them, dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. This is what the sovereign Lord says to these bones. I will make breath enter you, and you will come to life. I will attach tendons to you and make flesh come upon you and cover you with skin. I will put breath in you and you will come to life. Then you will know that I am the Lord. So I prophesied and commanded. As I was prophesying, there was a noise, a great rattling, and these bones came together, bone by bone. Look, and the tendons and the flesh appeared on them, skin covered them. But there was no breath in them. Then He said to me, prophesy to the breath. Prophesy, son of man, and say to it, this is what the sovereign Lord says. Come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe into these slain that they may live. So I prophesied as He commanded me, and breathed upon them. Just as I did, they came to life and stood up in their feet, a vast army. Then He said to me, son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel. They say our bones are dried up and our hope is gone. We are cut off. Therefore prophesy and say to them, this is what the sovereign Lord says. O my people, I am going to open your graves and bring you up from them. I will bring you back to the land of Israel. Then you, my people, will know that I am the Lord when I open your graves and bring you up from them. I will put my spirit in you, and you will live. I will settle you in your own land. Then you will know that I, the Lord, have spoken, and I have done it, declares the Lord. Many scholars talk about the resurrection of Israel, and that has happened. That is true. But this word is even deeper than that. This is a word that's prophesying about you and me. We are Israel. The land of Israel is this whole world of which Christ died for. He died for the sins of the world. And He owns it. And He has breathed into us His very Spirit. He has resurrected us, so to speak. As Ephesians says, we have the down payment, the earnest down payment of the Holy Spirit being breathed into us. Down payment. There's more to come. Jesus set the example for us in the New Testament about this resurrection. He prophesied about His death, burial, and resurrection to the disciples. But they didn't get it. He raised three people from the dead. He raised Jairus' daughter, the son of the widow at Nain's. And He raised up Lazarus. Were they resurrected? No, they weren't. They were resuscitated. In the accounts, Jesus didn't breathe on them. He commanded them to wake up. He commanded them to come forth. He touched them, and they rose. You see, the Jews thought there would be an exact replica of who they were, and they could see this, and they became angry with Jesus. And all he did was resuscitate those who were already dead. Remember he said to Jairus' daughter, "Awake, for you are asleep." And the mourners, the professional mourners, laughed him to scorn. She's not dead. Even before Jesus raised Lazarus from the dead, Mary and Martha were crying. And he said to Mary, he goes, "I am the resurrection and the life. All who come to the Father must come through me." And then he spoke to Lazarus to come forth from the tomb. Paul tells us that Christ is the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. This is why I say it was not a resurrection, it was a resuscitation. Because Christ had to be the first to come and be raised from the grave. Had to. This brings us to the empty tomb. Jesus prophesied to them, told them what was going to happen to Messiah. He told them that he was going to be beaten. He told them that they were going to forsake him. They told him that he was going to be nailed to the cross. He told them all this stuff. And they couldn't get it. But the interesting thing about the tomb is there's only three possibilities. One, that the disciples came and took his body. We know that's not true because they were in fear of their lives. They were afraid. They were broken. They were so busy in self-preservation that they didn't think about Jesus raising from the dead. They hid behind doors. They were afraid. Two, that the Jews took the body. And this couldn't happen for two reasons. One, the stone was so heavy that it took more than two or three men to roll it away from the grave. And the other reason was that there was Roman soldiers there to guard a dead man. So we know the Jews didn't do that. We even know the Jews couldn't produce a body even after 3 days. And according to the scriptures, they paid off the guards. The third possibility is Jesus did what he said he did. And he did. 3 days he spent in Gehenna. He preached the good news to the captives. And then he rose from the dead. And paradise fell into Gehenna. And those who do evil will go to hell. Not by God's wish, but by their own doings. Because they would refuse to believe in the Savior of their souls. Savior of their spirit. This energized the disciples because Jesus appeared to them after he rose and was glorified by the Father. After he presented his blood to the Father on the eternal altar as a sacrifice to atone for us. He came back and he came through a wall. He came through a wall. Not a portal. He came through the wall and his first words were what? "Peace be to you." This energized them. Think how radical they became. And not only did he show himself to the 11, he showed himself to more than 500 people at one time. So the witness was more than just what the disciples said. There was a mass of people that saw him. And so this resurrection is factual. He's the only one. There have been great prophets. There have been great guys through all the world and all. But their bones are still in the grave. Jesus picked up his body and ascended to heaven. And so shall we. So shall you, Karen. So shall you, Gar. Quindell, Dill Pickle. That is our hope. But what really turned this world upside right was the day that the Holy Spirit fell upon them and empowered them. They were radical. They were no longer people afraid. They became people that were fearless. Their faces, as the scripture says, were like lions. They were bold. They took risk. They didn't care about what was going on in their lives. Well, Pastor, that's the disciples. That was them. Are you his disciple? If you call on his name and you say you're his disciple, he does differentiate. He transcends time and space. What he did at the first church, he wants to do now at the last church. Even more glorious. Because there's more of us. We should be radical. We should be radical in sharing our faith, just as the 11 were. We should be radical about telling people about the kingdom of God, about his love for them. How he has set them free from sin and condemnation. That we can't earn this thing. We can't do Christianity. We are Christianity. That's who we are. Our lives are now hidden in Jesus Christ. And the life I live now, I live through faith in the Son of God. That I no longer live, but he lives through me. That may seem wild. That may seem like, I got to do something. He's done it all. He's done it all for you and for me. There's nothing more you have to do, but do what he has told you to do. Do what he has said. He said, if you love me, you'll do what I tell you to do. Do you love God? Be careful, because my next question is, are you doing what he told you to do? Or are you just going with the flow? I'm just happen to be here. And, you know, you should feel privileged that I'm here. I don't think so. Jesus takes precedent over that. Jesus said, if you love your children, your husband, your father, your mother, yourself more than me, you're not worthy of the kingdom. You need to check, find out where you're at. Because if you don't have the Son, you won't experience the resurrection in a way that he wants you to experience it. In glory, in power, in freedom. With clarity of sight. Jesus is risen. I believe it with my whole heart. That doesn't mean I don't have struggles. It doesn't mean that you won't go through life and have struggles. What it means is I can go to him and tell him about my problems. He can talk to me through the scriptures. He can help me in areas I couldn't believe. I could go to people who have walked this faith, gone different places in their lives, and I can glean from their wisdom, not making the same mistakes. But the key is I need to do what he's told me to do. Obedience is better than sacrifice. Romans 8:11, last scripture, says, "And if the Spirit of Him who raised Jesus from the dead is living in you, He who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through the Spirit who lives in you." Do you have His Spirit? You can name the name of Jesus all you want, but if you don't have His Spirit, you're not producing fruit. And what does the Scripture talk about? If the tree is bad, He will cut it down. If the tree is good, He'll prune it and cause it to grow more fruit. Pruning is never fun, but it is necessary to produce fruit for His glory. On this Easter, on this Resurrection Day, let us proclaim fearlessly to those who we break bread with that do not know Jesus Christ. I challenge you to speak of Christ and what He has done for you and what you believe He's going to do with you in the near future. The key here is doing what He says to do. He was totally obedient to the Father. He's not on a cross. He has paid for your sins and my sins to give us life everlasting. Amen? Happy Easter, and God bless you. If anybody would like prayer, Gomez would be happy to pray with them. We're going to set up for fellowship, so take a few minutes. Father, in the name of Jesus, we just thank You, God, for your Son, who is the living bread of life. Father, we thank You for waking us up early to be here, God. We thank You for all that everyone has done to prepare a time of fellowship. The meal, Father, I ask that You bless it. Let our fellowship be sweet, O God. Edifying, but more importantly, God, that we glorify You because You rose from the dead and You did what You said You were going to do. Father, You are faithful to the end. How much more faithful in doing what the Father has asked You to do will You be to us? God, I just thank You. I thank You for what You're doing in Streams. I thank You, God, what You're doing in me. I thank You for the ministries and those who are here, God. You have caused life to blossom here. And Father, we just want You to continue to do this. In Jesus' name, and all God's people said, Amen.